Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. I am Race for the Prize. Let's get to the picks quick. Phoenix Cup Series. But first, remember, go to raceforthepryze.com to get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet for March. I'm fully committed to Denny Hamlin. Was his practice sessions the best? No, but again, I remind you, don't go run off and get married on the weekend to practice data. Trust track history. Trust current form. Trust the trends. And the biggest trend being that at Phoenix, the hog points or dominator points or fast lap laps leader points go to the front rows. It's a hard track to pass at. It's a hard track to pass at in this package. So don't worry that you didn't see enough out of him in practice. And it wasn't necessarily you didn't see enough out of the car. It's just that he didn't really show a lot. He doesn't reveal all of his cards. That's how Dennis operates. Sure, I would have loved to have seen in the third session him run a longer run, but he didn't. This is all the data that we have, but it's not. We have plenty of data. It's not just all about practice data. He's got track position. He's starting on the pole. It's a huge benefit. I would say a 30-point hog projection is very conservative. It's on the low end given what we've seen from the pole sitter. And even with that low end projection and he wins the race, he's still the third best point per dollar play. Ty Gibbs, I wish I could get there. If you want to deviate, $8,000 is very affordable, and seven might be a low end on the fast end, but you just have to decide who's going to cycle to the lead. Is it going to be Dennis? Is it going to be Ty Gibbs? I just can't get behind this pick just yet. The speeds in practice were good, but not great. And I like Hamlin's car based on history and track. I like Elliott's car based on history and track. And they're all right there, and they all have a really good chance to cycle to the lead. To me, it's going to be Hamlin and Elliott. I just don't see Gibbs being my guy. But he's not too far off. If you want to pivot and go that route, I absolutely don't mind it because he's very affordable and will slide into lineups where you can play all three of these guys. So by no means am I saying take Gibbs off the board. I'm just not projecting him to score a lot of points. Even at an 11-point per dollar play, he can work. And one of the things, you just look at previous optimal lineups. And you could have two giant hogs, and then Gibbs slides in with 63 fantasy points at a similar price point to Buescher. It's just, would rather have, I don't know if he moves forward. He can't get place differential. He really needs to lead laps. Does he cycle to lead? I'm saying no. Chase Elliott, his speeds are not as good as Larson and Bell, but there is some significant long run speed with this Hendrick car. We know this track suits him. We know that he can excel. He's got the track position, which is key. Could he cycle ahead of Hamlin? Yes. Could he cycle Hamlin on the long run? Possibly. But again, you got to have a lot better of a car. They talked about that a lot in practice. You might be better than the car in front of you. You just can't get around him. So that could hurt Elliott as well. But maybe a better pit stop. This all could work out in his favor. Erik Jones, I don't think that he, and so even 25, that might be a pretty conservative projection given his starting position and the speed and the history. And he comes up as second point per dollar play is also a lot more affordable. Erik Jones could have a good day, which would be finishing eighth, and he's still just not going to check out. Unless, you know, if Jones leads a bunch of laps, he's probably going to toast him, just like Ty Gibbs if he leads a bunch of laps. William Byron's the next thing that you really have to get worried about. You know, based on track history and current form and everything, he checks out and he's got track position. So it's hard to completely just rule him off the board. The $11,000 is going to push him out of a lot of lineups and people are going to go with Elliott. They're going to go with Hamlin. Maybe you can squeeze all three. It's going to lower his ownership and this could definitely be a GBP play to go to. I just worry about the things that he said about his car. Just because he got dialed in for qualifying and had a good run doesn't mean he's going to be particularly good in this race in the new package. I don't like what he said and I'm really discouraged by his practice session. Again, don't run off with the practice data. You know, don't run off and get married to it this weekend. Don't abandon track history. Don't abandon current form and the hog points, projection trends. Trust all of it. Don't just get married on a whim to practice data because one session didn't go well. But man, it really worries me. I don't really care about the first run from a lot of these guys. But then he goes out with a really small second run, a really small third run, and then barely does anything on his final session of the practice, which I am kind of very interested in. And here he is. We're about 10 laps into the run, and he's running 28.3. Christopher Bell is running a 28.3, like 30 laps into a run. Kyle Larson is right there with him. The RFK Fords are up there. Elliott is faster. Long run speed's going to matter enough that these definitely worry me. And just because he was fast in qualifying doesn't erase that. I don't want to weigh practice too much, but this was not a good session for Byron. And I like these guys in front better. And I like the guys back. They're also going to get place differential and have an opportunity at fast laps and are cheaper. So Byron's a no for me. Tyler Reddick, since he is so much cheaper, can definitely make it work. We have seen him be aggressive in these spring races in the past. We know he can probably at least get 10 hog points. Is there a little bit more fall off? It's not terrible. It's worse than Elliott's. It would probably be worse than Hamlin's if Hamlin had made those runs. Clearly not on the level of Bell or the RFKs or Larson, but he does have significant speed, short run speed. I think he can make it work. He could maybe even turn fast laps late in a run just because he was aggressive. I love that he was really aggressive in practice. Some people were, oh, he's spinning out, he's out of control. Yeah, well, that's how you find out fast your car can go. That's how fast you get yourself into the second round of the qualifying by getting that maximal speed, finding where the limit is. And if he's going to push it, sure, that's going to be extra fast lap points in the race. Of course, we run the risk of wrecking Gregson. I don't think he can make this thing work. 12th place out of this car is probably going to be pretty good, and that's just not going to be a good point per dollar return. He's going to slide backwards. I don't see him really leading laps or hog points. He's cheap, too close to the front. And even if I didn't even like him, no matter where he was qualifying, Briscoe becomes interesting because last race didn't go very well, but and practice wasn't awesome for him, but just the factor of the downshifting and being comfortable, he's going to probably get some fast lap points running up in cleaner air towards the front. He can finish towards the front and he's going to be alive. Do I think this is going to be another day where he wins the race and no, or gets all these points? That was a significant weird moment where we had just rolled out the next gen. He was one of the guys on the cutting edge with gear shifting. We have seen that advantage dissipate a little bit or disappear, and he can still be fast. He could still get a top 10, still scrape off some points. The expectations are lower, but his price is lower. He's definitely going to be on the board as a value play, and you might get lower ownership because people are worried that maybe he's starting too close to the front. He's definitely my board. Michael McDowell's going to go backwards, have a good day in his home track, but not someone I consider. Again, Carson Hosford could have a really good day. We like what Spire's doing, just qualifying too far to the front. Don't think he can be on the board. I'm not impressed with Truex's car. I don't think that he's really been particularly strong at this track recently. His long run speed was not really there. He doesn't have the track position that Hamlin and Elliott has. He's not like a slug or anything, but look, just behind him, you've got Bell creeping. He just missed qualifying. Come on, people. Truex, sorry. And he's only a couple $100 more. Chastain, a lot more fall off. That does worry me, which I've talked about. But in his aggressive nature, he can move forward on restarts. He probably can get to the top five. He can scrape off some hog points here and there. But ultimately, I don't think that he is going to get it done. I'd much rather Bell's the guy. We all know that Bell's the guy. This is probably a low hog projection. I think he's going to cut right through. He has all the speed that he needs. He's got everything. Maybe they dialed down the qualifying trim. Maybe he just missed it by a little bit. He could easily be starting closer to the front. That long run speed is legit, and he is not too deep in the field. So it's an added bonus of getting 12 place differential. Probably should get more hog points. This could be the day they find the breaks through. Buescher is pretty good. I think the price is suppressed. He ran pretty well here last fall. We have seen him get better at the tracks where Brakuszewski has been good in the past. And I think he could scrape off probably more than that. He's checking out as the fifth best point per dollar play. I liked him as a top five driver. Did he qualify that well? Well, just missed it like the other guys at 8,300 point per dollar wise. We really like this play. His fall off, you know, kind of in that second tier, right there with Hamlin and Elliott. The RFK cars were fast enough. Suarez is going to be someone I don't go to. Ryan Blaney's practice speeds weren't the greatest, didn't show me what I absolutely wanted to see. But again, you don't want to just completely say, oh, because he wasn't good in practice. You got to trust that he has been good at this track in the past. But I do worry here, though, on that final run of the session. We are only 10 laps in. He's down to a 28.3. As I mentioned before, Christopher Bell is like around 28.3, 30 seconds in. So if he is competing head-to-head with Christopher Bell, they're starting in very similar positions. It comes down to the end of the race. Well, then it's going to be Bell getting the laps led, fast lap points. Those aren't going to Blaney. He's going to be much lower, and he is a significantly steeper price. So does it cycle to him? Can he be up there? I don't know. I mean, Hamlin and Elliott got the first dibs on who's going to lead laps. Soon it's going to cycle to Bell. Blaney, is he going to get better than Bell? based on track history, he should. But based on the car in this new package, I got to go with Bell. I like Larson right there as well. But again, Larson's got to leap over Blaney, which I think he has the car to do and the current form to do it. But he's got to get past Bell. And then Hamlin and Elliott still have better track position. And it's going to take time for Larson to get his way up there. It might be a low projection here for him. You can boost it up some. Let's say let's double it, which I think is pretty aggressive given his track position to get 20 fast lap points, maybe laps led points. Then he becomes the fifth best point per dollar play. That is an aggressive projection. Maybe fifth is a little bit more there, and that's eighth, but he also is costing you a lot of money. Sure, the place differential are very beneficial here, and it kind of works, but that is pretty aggressive given who is in front of him. And again, Larson's car is not great. It's good on the long run. It's probably one of the top three cars, I would argue, on the long run. Kozlowski's there, though, at the same spot. Much cheaper. It's a step down from Larson, but he is almost $3,000 cheaper, and he has just as much potential. I've got him only finishing seventh, and he's still $6. Love the RFK cars. This is just a really interesting spot where these guys just missed out on qualifying. Imagine the conversation that you would be having with yourself if they made it into the final round and they're starting in the top five. They're all relatively cheap or whatever. Like, you'd have a different stance on them. So these guys, they're just as good. It's just that they are starting at a different spot. Nemechek's going to be a no. Stenhouse, a no. Daniel Hemric, a no. I just don't think they have enough car to get there. All the cars in front of them are better, and they've got some better cars behind them. Bubba Wallace, I'm considering a little bit more fall-off on to see, but he is kind of at the bottom of that second tier in terms of fall-off. Not bad. Good enough to get into the top 10. But other than that, I don't know how much further he gets. And so right now, ninth in a point per dollar play is not really saving you that much. I think construction-wise, it's going to be wiser to go a little bit cheaper. You're going to need something to happen to make Wallace work. Joey Logano, as I talked about in the previous video, fired off awesome. And so, but I was like really dismissive of that first run in practice, and I didn't really want to look at it because I just didn't think it was very telling and it was misleading. And so I ignored him, but then I went back and really looked at his last run. And so again, you see like, man, he was fast on that first run. But then on the last run, the speeds were pretty good too. And the thing was, he just didn't qualify well, which he had been doing really well of late. So he can move into the top five relatively easy given the car that he has. And he can pick off some fast lap points. I got him as a fourth best point per dollar play. He's not extremely expensive. He's not an $11,000 driver. He works in there. And he can work in a lineup as, you know, if we're looking at previous construction at 9,500, maybe he's not the number one or number two hog, but he comes in as a third hog with place differential. You see like Ryan Blaney here in the last race, or we've got a 31 from Kevin Harvick and 10 place differential, or we've got seven hog, but 22 place differential from Ross Chastain at 10,400. 29 hog points, probably not going to get that many, maybe, but he's going to easily double the place differential of Chase Elliott at a 10,700. So he may not be the number one or number two guy, but he could easily be the third driver in your construction at 9,500. It could even be better than that. Harrison Burton probably going nowhere. Alex Bowman is intriguing. 7,500. He's kind of cheap. The practice speeds were pretty good. Overall, Hendrick has unloaded fast, decent long run speed that I can believe in. And let's see if I get him up to 12th. Maybe that's a stretch. 12 and point per dollar play. I mean, is it the same as the Bubba Wallace? I don't know. 12th, maybe he can do a little bit better. He is on the board. He's on the fringes of the board. Don't erase him just yet. I know Las Vegas didn't go that well, but he has a better car this week. The practice speeds check out. Decent on the long run. Derek Krause, no way, Jose. I flipped and flopped on Ryan Preece. I liked him a lot more before, but then I looked closer at the data. Because I was looking at, you know, lap-by-lap data, and I looked at my stance on Priest changed because I got a clearer picture of Priest. I couldn't really tell what his runs were looking at through the cycling, so then I went through the raw data and looked specifically at the timing of his runs to see, all right, what really was that last run like? And I can pull it up, and it's just okay. Is it good enough for top 20? Yes, but any much further, because here is 28.3-ish, 28.2.8, 10 laps in. Obviously, he's not in the elite tier. He's not even in that second tier. Top 20, yeah, he's probably the best. He's better than Stenhouse. He's better than Hemric. Is he better than these guys starting up here? Yeah. Is he better than Nemechek? I would say he's right there, if not better. But once we start creeping up, he's not better than these drivers. He's not getting past them. And so if I project Priest for what? Where I got the bro at? 17th. It's not going to get there. He really probably needs to get to 15th to be on the board. Let's see if we change it to 15th. Still just the 13th best point per dollar play. So I have changed my stance on that. No on Smith, no on Gilliland. Dylan, nope. RCR just did not unload well. And while maybe you can consider that at 6,800, you absolutely can't with Kyle Busch. And again, you look at the raw data and you look at the laps and see like, oh, coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out. Nope, that's just not the car that you need. And hopefully you can fix it throughout the race. But everybody's going to be working on their car throughout the race. Everyone is going to be improving throughout the race. But you see these small little runs by Kyle Busch. The speed's just not there. It is not there. And I, even giving Kyle Busch, like what I give him, a top 10 is absolutely pushing it, given the way that he's been training. 13th. 13th, it's a 5.2K. Let's give him 10th place and see where he comes in. 9th best point per dollar play. He's not really saving you that much. I'm not on board. I don't believe in the RCR cars, period. Look at both of their laps. They're not there. Kaz Grahl, nope. Justin Haley, nope. Cindric, you want to flirt around with Cindric? I don't see it. Sure, he had short run speed right here. That's going to pop off. But again, that's from the part of practice that I'm just not really even that interested in. Great, you came out and you unloaded really fast on a green racetrack and laid down some hot laps. That's cool. Awesome job. And then you had super duper fall off. Not even 10 laps into the run. Yuck, that's disgusting. And then we look, all right, well, what did he do on his final run? Well, he fired off at 28.3, so 10 laps in, he's only at 28.5. The car's not there. Is he going to get, maybe he can battle with these guys right here in the 20s. Maybe. I don't even know if he can get to that. 20th place finish for Austin Cindric would be a really good day for him. And even if I give him 20th, he is coming in as the 11th best point per dollar play. Maybe he makes it work. I think that's really aggressive given this car and the way that he's running and the way that he's run this track in the past. Corey LaJoie, not been his best track. Giving him the benefit of the doubt, giving him a 24th place finish, not on my board. Josh Berry has that issue in practice. They believed that they were going to qualify for the final round of practice had he not spun out. Speed's decent. It is intriguing. I think really pushing him past, again, those guys in the top 20. Top 15's pretty locked in and solid. I don't think he has a top 15 car. Giving him 18th, he's right there. The speeds are okay. Let's look at some of his last long run was halfway decent. If we pull that up, Josh Berry, final long run of practice. There it is, 28.2, about what? We are 14 laps in. That's decent speed. Is he a top 20 car? Yes, he has a top 20 car. All around SHR put together top 20 cars. Can they get in the top 15 is a different question. The guy starting in the top 15 for SHR can. They could stay there. But, man, he has to get past a lot of cars. He hasn't demonstrated a lot of that. We are not very bullish on the SHR cars. Hopefully this was helpful. And maybe I'll do a live show later. I don't know. We'll see how things go. I got to go get ready for Mass. Blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Trip Life's fantastic.